of heights to the depths of the sea.
So he says, come to me, all who are weary and all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And aren't you glad that you can come to one who understands it all, who can see right through you? He knows exactly why you do the things you do. He knows exactly why you do and the motivations of your heart. And he knows the struggles, the deep things.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Jesus showed his authority when he says, come unto me. This invitation is unthinkable in the mouth of anyone else but God, and woe to the men who call people to themselves instead of to Jesus. Jesus directed his call to those who were burdened. He called to those who sensed they must come to him to relieve their need instead of living in self-sufficiency. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he concludes chapter 11 in the Gospel of Matthew.
That's what it was. One man, and that could be one woman as well. It could be us in the midst of our hurricane, in the midst of troubles. Do we throw in the towel? Or do we continue to worship him and serve him regardless? See, this is what I believe we need to do as well. And be careful that you don't allow your hearts to be overcome with sorrow. Because I have at times. Sorrow and despondency, but rather press in now and continue. Press into Christ and continue what he has called us to do. And what has he called us to do? In Matthew, he gave us the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Paul would tell us in Philippians, but one thing I do, this one thing I do in the midst of all this stuff. And believe me, he was going through persecution because he was in the first century where persecution was really hot. And what did he say in the midst of his crazy hurricane that was all around him? He says, one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are past. Are you still clinging to things from the past? Forget about those things. Cover it in the blood of Christ and move on. You're a new creature in Christ. Even as a Christian, have you made mistakes? Confess it and let it be done with. And don't look back there ever again. God's not going to. Why are you doing it? And you continue moving forward. You forget about those things. Do like what Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. It's not a downward call. It's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? See, to me, there's bad news, but then there's good news. But we have to talk about the bad news. But there's good news for us. There's good news for us. And we need to turn, folks. We need to turn from any and all things that are keeping us from doing that one thing, that central thing, that great commission. Read that again. Read Matthew 28. Verses, you know, the last couple of verses there in the chapter. Read that and say, Lord, how practically can I do this week? And it's much easier than you might think. God's not going to call you to the aboriginals in South America. He may, but, you know, he just wants you to be faithful where you're at. And you know what? Don't worry about anything else, because just be faithful where you're at. Be faithful to open your mouth to the truth of the gospel. Let people know. and live a life that is attractive to them, that they're going to say, there's something about you that I don't understand. Have you had anybody tell you that? When you're really walking in the Spirit, people say, you know what, how is it that you can act like that? How can you have a smile on your face when you're going through such turmoil? You know, somebody ran over your dog, your furnace blew up, your water heater exploded, and your basement's filled with 2 feet of water. Your credit card got hacked. And the doctor just told you got incurable cancer. Go home and die. How can you still have a smile? Well, these things are temporal. Yeah, there's setbacks, but guess what? I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? We know where we're going. And nothing should trump that. Nothing should ruin that. Nothing should stain that hope. And yet it does, because everything is relative, and I get it, you know. But even when the worst things happen, think to yourself, I'm going to heaven. And I'll never remember this ever again. This little blip on the radar screen, yes, the water, and I got to get, you know, remediation, and I got to get all these, you know, fans and mold people and specialists, and they got to sign off a waiver so the insurance company can pay me, and I got to go through all this rigmarole, and just a blip. And then for eternity, we'll never look upon that. It'll be like, do you remember that? No, I really don't. I don't remember anything. I don't remember any of the sorrow of my past. I don't even remember when I was languishing for 3 months in my bed dying of cancer. I don't even remember that, because the glory is so wonderful now. See, to me, that is cool. That is what we need to hold on to. Amen? So let me finish this quickly. So after that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And this always seems to be the Lord's way. When he came into the world, he didn't announce it to those in Jerusalem. He didn't call the president in Washington, D.C. Hey, I'm coming. Is it okay? No, he showed up. And he revealed himself to a bunch of lowly shepherds in the field. The offscouring of society, those people. That's who he revealed himself to. Not the high and mighty, not the rich and wealthy. No, it was the people that nobody really cared about. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he says, unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord loved children, and we need to come to him with childlike faith. And there was a 20th century pastor. His name is Ivor Powell. He's one of my favorites. He said this about this verse. He says, there was and still is a great difference between childishness and childlikeness. One indicates a grown adult who remains a child. Sometimes that's me. Childlikeness reveals a man or woman, great as he might be, remembers he came from nothing. A child's mind is open. Preconceived ideas have not yet closed the door of understanding, and a small child will never try to persuade anyone he knows anything. He's revealed these things to babes. The least. The things that the world doesn't care about. Aren't you glad that Jesus did that for you and me? The greatest thing that could ever happen to a human being is to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet he did it in such a humble way. He didn't do it in the way that the world does. The world would have to have a marketing team. It would have to be on all the social media platforms. They'd have to have a media blitz right there on the in the Super Bowl halftime, you know. They swing out Jesus on a, you know, or whatever. They would have to do something like that to get everybody's attention. But Jesus says, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to come to you and you and you. In you, and I'm just going to speak gently and softly to you. I don't need a megaphone. I don't need the internet. I don't need anything. I don't need a cell phone. I don't need a Twitter account. All these things, Jesus said, have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal to him. It says in the Scripture that no one has seen God any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus is the one who declares to us the Father. And it's through him, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. That means he is the conduit. He is the thing in the center that is, it's essential. Everything is through him. Through him. He is the one who reveals to us the Father. And thank God that he has. Remember when he spoke, in fact, it was in the same passage. Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father and it suffices us. And what was Jesus' response? Philip, have I been so long with you? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I am, the great I am, Jesus would say. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My characteristics, the way I hold my, and think about the responsibility of that. The disciples never saw Jesus throwing a tantrum, you know, picking up a sandal and smacking it against a tree and throwing it into the Galilee. And those people had enough of them. Never saw it. They never saw it. Perfectly under control. Even when he went in and cleansed the temple, perfect control. Perfect control, even in his righteous anger, perfect control. Anybody have perfect righteous anger? I think a lot of times we do have righteous anger and then our flesh gets involved and then it becomes a mess. Then we're in jail. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger. You just got to be careful. You got to be the, who's governing your heart? Is it going to be your flesh or is it going to be the Spirit of God? If it's your flesh, you're going to jail. If it's the Spirit, you're going to be just fine. So he says, come to me, all who are weary and all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And aren't you glad that you can come to one who understands it all? Who can see right through you? He knows exactly why you do the things you do. He knows exactly why you do and the motivations of your heart. And he knows the struggles, the deep things. And serving a man can be difficult, but serving Christ is so much better because he is such a perfect, he's such a perfect master. He knows when it's time. Because unlike man, the Lord knows when you need a break and when you need time off. He knows when you need to just hop in an inner tube and float in the lazy river for a few hours. He knows. Do you need rest from your labor in your Christian walk? Do you need to have rest from the expectations that you place upon yourself and expectations of others upon you? Jesus' expectations are much easier. People are a load. But his expectations, because of his grace, are so much more gentle and kind. People aren't kind. But God is kind. They don't know that you need a break. They'll keep whipping you. More bricks, less straw. More bricks, less straw. Remember when he told that, Pharaoh did that to the Hebrews? While they were in Egypt, more bricks, less straw. You don't need a break, you need a whipping. And God's going, your day's coming, buddy. You know, so you don't mess with the apple of God's eye because your lights are going out if you don't repent, right? He says, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And there is more than just a physical rest. There's a spiritual rest, an emotional rest, and all of that Christ gives us. But I think the most important rest is the rest of knowing that your search is over. When you've come to Christ, your search is over. You don't need to go anywhere else. You don't need to go to Buddha. You don't need to go to Allah. You don't need to go to the Mormon Tabernacle. You don't need to go to the Kingdom Hall. You come to Christ and your search is over. Now there's a rest. You no longer have to find yourself somewhere out in California or in Manhattan, New York City. You can find yourself in Christ. He is the one. You come to him, the search is over. It's over. It's done. You don't need anywhere else. You don't need anyone else. You don't need anything else. You need Christ, and I need Christ. And he says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And, you know, Jesus took more on his shoulders than we could ever imagine. He bore the sins. And Isaiah 53, it says that he was a despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. There it is. He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Talk about a burden. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And then Jesus, using their own livelihood, this air is really dry, excuse me. Their own livelihood as an example. He talks about yoking. Two animals yoked together, an experienced ox and a not so experienced ox. The younger one can learn a lot if he is willing to submit himself and he puts himself in the yoke. And Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, so be yoked with me, because if you're yoked with Christ, much better. He's got all the experience. He's got all the knowledge. He's got more experience. And because he does, he knows the path very well. An experienced ox that is yoked knows the master who's got the reins behind him. And if he has experience at all, he knows exactly the noises that the master makes. He knows to start walking, and he knows the right pace, because the master has taught him the pace. And the ox is happy as can be, because it's either that or the slaughterhouse. Very happy to obey the master. It's a great job. I'm out here. I'm hearing him sing behind me. He's singing, old rugged cross. And here I am, you know, just a cow, you know, and I'm having a good, beautiful day. The soil's nice and dry. The air is nice and crisp. I'm just doing my thing. I'm staying in my lane, and I'm happy to do it. Happy to do it. Jesus says, stay in my lane. Get in the lane with me. And what does he say to us in Jeremiah chapter 6? And I love this. Stand in the ways and see, God would say to Jeremiah, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, just as that ox is going forward and it knows the path. It's done it so many times with its master. So used to the path. Just get on the path. The old paths are good. They're well-worn. They're well-traversed. They've been proven, and they are good. The new paths, highly suspect. Oh, but you can get there a lot quicker. Oh, there's a better way to do it. No thanks. I'm going to stay on the old path. The old paths. The old paths are what is going to get you into a life of fruitfulness. The old paths are going to lead you right to glory. The old paths are going to lead you right into the pleasing desire of Christ. So are you stumbling in a new path? Have you tried a new path? And we're finished here. Are you on a new path and you're stumbling around and you feel like you're kind of in the dark, moping around, bumping into walls, frustrated, angry? Well, here's a solution. Get yoked with the Savior, the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Get yoked with him. Is there anyone that you really want to be yoked with? After all, doesn't he know the end from the beginning? So he knows exactly what's happening. He's got the strength and the power, even though I feel like, you know, if Jesus is like this, and sorry, you know, he's got all the knowledge and all the strength. If my strength fails, then he's got it covered. If my knowledge fails, he's got it covered. All I got to do is follow with him. I got to be yoked with him and continue on that path and furrowing those rows of those soil and dropping seeds into the soil. The word of God, hopefully that people will hear it and that'll land on the good soil and it'll bear good fruit, right? See, I want to be yoked with him. I don't want to be yoked with anything else. because everyone else is a slave driver, but Jesus is so kind to me. Isn't he kind to you? He's been so lovingly patient with us, and he's so gracious. And I'm so glad that he knows when it's time for Rob to take a break. Sometimes I won't give myself a break. And we went to Florida this last season for Christmas. And I had all these things planned. Things I wanted to do with my family. And the Lord goes, I'm going to give you COVID. So guess what? You're going to be on your back for those 2 weeks that you're there. You're going to be in a room. But you know what? It was fruitful. He knocked me out, and I slept more in those 2 weeks than I've ever slept in my entire life combined. And that's a hard feat. I did. I slept, and boy, did I feel so much better. I was able to talk to my brother for 5 hours in one phone call, talking to him about Jesus for 5 hours in a room all by myself, looking out at the palm trees in the sunshine, calling my brother. What a great privilege that was, and for us to talk about the Lord. But I got rest, and the Lord's like, Rob, I know you have your plans, but I got a different plan. Are you willing to submit to it? Nope. I don't want your plan. I want my plan. My plan is, and then, I call you Lord, don't I? That means that you have control over me. Okay. But you know what? You submit, and sometimes you have no choice but to submit. In this case, I had no choice but submit to the plan. And I'm really glad because it did give me the rest that I needed. It kind of confirms this. Didn't want it, didn't ask for it. Would have preferred not to have it because you travel all that way and all that money to get there, and then you're quarantined. And everybody else got sick, by the way, except for Kathy's father. Everybody else in the whole house got it too. So it was just a wonderfully pleasant time. They'll be like in our scrapbook, you know, maybe for that year, they'll just be the Grinch, a picture of the Grinch for Christmas, right there. But that's okay because God knows what he's doing, right? So be encouraged. I want to encourage you to read the passage over again and let God work those things in your heart and turn from the things and remember that he loves you and to get into his yoke, and it's easy and it's sweet and it's good. Get in the lane with Christ and let him lead you. That's all you got to do. And that's what's called abiding in Christ, staying yoked to Jesus. Amen? Sorry I kept you so long, sort of. Let's stand and let's pray. I'm really not sorry, but I am sorry a little bit. Because I could go on for another hour and you people are like, I'm hungry, I got things to do. So Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your great love for us. And Lord, I'm so encouraged, Lord, with just the things that you remind us of, Lord. That even though the Christian life is not an easy one, we know that it's not easy in this world, Father, but we know that, Lord, you have a plan and that you want us to be yoked with you. And when we are yoked with you, there's blessedness, Lord. There's freedom. There's joy even in the midst of difficult times. And so, Lord, help us to do that. I pray that you would touch each of our hearts today, that you would break our hearts wherever it needs to be broken, that we would turn from those things that we need to turn from, and God, that we would get in our lane with you, that we would find the old path and stay in it and be content in the old path. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.